So this is Bhishmadev speaking. And previously, Bhishmadev had just been speaking about the sufferings the Pandavas went through and was explaining that even pious people sometimes have to suffer to execute the will of the Lord. So the Pandavas had to suffer, but it was Krishna's desire that there would be the battle and ultimately they would come out successful and be glorified. So that was, I think, three or four verses like that, right? Last verses. So now, this is what Bhishmadev says next. This Sri Krishna is no other than the inconceivable original personality of Godhead. He is the first Narayana, the supreme enjoyer. But he is moving amongst the descendants of King Vishnu, just like one of us. And he is bewildering us with his self-created energy. So, in other words, it wasn't obvious to everyone who Krishna was. And that seems, in a sense, difficult to understand, because we would think, well, just like if Krishna walked into the temple room, nobody would have a problem recognizing him. But they did. It wasn't obvious to everyone, just like many people saw Prabhupada and they weren't affected. It was, you know, to us it was obvious. He was bright as the sun. But to other people, nothing. So people did see Krishna and nothing. Nothing happened. Amazingly. Isn't that amazing? So beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So Bhishmadev, you know, is stating for the record, this is who Krishna is. You would think, well, why does it have to be stated? Isn't it obvious? Well, it wasn't obvious to everyone. Prabhupada said it wasn't obvious to most. Purport. The Vedic system of acquiring knowledge is the deductive process. The Vedic knowledge is received perfectly by disciplic succession from authorities. Such knowledge is never dogmatic, as ill-conceived by less intelligent persons. The mother is the authority to verify the identity of the father. She is the authority for such confidential knowledge. Therefore, authority is not dogmatic. Why is Prabhupada saying this? Because Bhishmadev is stating that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Bhishmadev is one of the 12 Mahajans. So Prabhupada's saying, this isn't somebody's idea. This is, you know, an authority. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain, there are more authorities that have said it. So we don't try to figure it out. Here's the disciplic succession. Here's the Mahajan. He says it. Okay, business is over. You don't have to worry about it. Therefore, authority is not dogmatic. In Bhagavad Gita, this truth is confirmed in the fourth chapter, text 2. What's the verse? Who knows? Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshyo vidu. Through disciplic succession, the knowledge was passed down from one king to another. And the perfect system of learning is to receive it from authority. The very same system is accepted universally as truth, but only the false arguer speaks against it. For example, modern spacecraft fly in the sky. And when scientists say that they travel to the other side of the moon, men believe these stories blindly because they have accepted the modern scientists as authorities. So, I was living in Los Angeles during the time that Prabhupada was having these conversations with Swarup Damodar Maharaj that became the book Life Comes From Life. And so because Swarup Damodar was a scientist, naturally he would bait Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wanted to be baited with what are the arguments of the scientists. So on one of the morning walks, I was fortunate enough to be there. They're going back and forth. So, Srila Prabhupada, the scientists say, and Prabhupada, boom. Prabhupada, the scientists say, you know, I say they're rascals, you know. Say, but it all came from the Big Bang. Well, where did the Big Bang come from? Who created the Big Bang? And just like, back and forth, you know, always looking for, Prabhupada always pointed to the ultimate cause. In the beginning, yeah, but before the beginning, who was there, you know? Who was pushing? They say there's a force. Who created the force? So they're going back and forth. And then finally, Prabhupada said the same thing that he said here. He said, it just boils down to whose authority. Who are you going to listen to? The Vedas or the scientists? He just like summarized the whole discussion, you know, the whole half-hour discussion summarized in one sentence. Who are you going to listen to as authority? That's it. So my question to you is, who are you going to listen to as authority? The Vedas, the Acharyas, or the scientists? So, you know, this is a controversial topic. Did they go to the moon? Did they not go to the moon? Could they go to the moon? Did they go to Rahu? Where did they go? Was it a Hollywood movie set in Arizona? So, you know, I was there on the morning walk and Prabhupada said, no, I don't think they went. I don't think they could go. It's too far. He said, but Prabhupada, you know, they have the video. And then one devotee said, but it looks like Arizona. Arizona's a desert. And Prabhupada said, why do you think it looks like Arizona? Because it must be. You know, so it was just his idea. And it's not like our whole life depends on it, but he said it. Then in Bhagavatam, he said, well, maybe they went to Rahu, but not the moon. So, you know, it's a challenge of faith, isn't it? And there's so many theories. They did go, they didn't go. And we're sitting there. This was like 1974. We're all young men and women. We're thinking, would they actually lie about this? You know, it was like incredible to us that something like that they would lie. And Prabhupada said, they need money. After they've extracted so much money, they have to say they went to the moon. Otherwise, how are they going to justify it? You know, the Prabhupada's looking at it from different points of view. So, okay. All right. Okay. But then they said, but Prabhupada, they have a film of it. Prabhupada said, they also have a film of Godzilla. This big monster, you know, destroying whatever he was destroying, New York City or something. He goes, it's not a monster. They had a little, you know, model of New York City and some big, I don't know, lizard or something. You know. Anyway, Hare Krishna. I was there. I heard it with my own two ears. That's what Prabhupada said. He talked about Godzilla. These authorities speak and the people in general believe them. But in the case of Vedic truth, they have been taught not to believe. Even if they accept them, they give a different interpretation. This is amazing. First, Prabhupada says, because of a materialistic society, we're taught to believe in materialistic ideas. We're taught not to believe in spiritual or Vedic ideas. And then he says, but even if they believe, they interpret. It's like, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. This is the condition of society. Oh, yeah, I believe in the Vedas. And people are talking about the Vedas. You don't know what they're talking about. They're just making up stuff, referring to the Vedas, isn't it? It's insane. And if you don't believe me, go on YouTube and Google a few gurus who follow the Vedas and listen to what they say. It's incredible. It's amazing, the interpretations and speculations. Each and every man wants a direct perception of Vedic knowledge, but foolishly they deny it. This means that the misguided man can believe one authority, the scientist, but will reject the authority of the Vedas. The result is that people have degenerated. So this is an obvious point. People have degenerated, and in the last 25 years, they've degenerated very quickly, isn't it? Well, those of you who are 25 years old, you wouldn't notice. But those of us who are older, we notice. Like last 20, 25 years, degeneration is going very quickly. And so Prabhupada's saying, yeah, because no one believes in the Vedas, there's no authority. It's just everybody's got their own idea. And people follow an idea that resonates with them. And what resonates with people? Sense gratification, basically, right? Isn't it? Yeah. In the Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 7:11, text 8 through 12, it lists 30 qualities of a human being. 30 qualities that human beings should develop. Most people don't have any of them. And then Prabhupada said, these 30 qualities, this is what education is all about, to teach people to develop these 30 qualities. Cleanliness, austerity, simplicity, compassion, following the Vedas, and so on. So that's education. So modern education does not educate people to develop these qualities. Therefore, degeneration. Very quickly, degenerating. Here is an authority speaking about Sri Krishna as the original personality of Godhead and the first Narayana. Even such an impersonalist as Acharya Shankara has said in the beginning of his commentation on the Bhagavad Gita that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is beyond the material creation. The universe is one of the material creations, but Narayan is transcendental to such material paraphernalia. So this is a powerful statement, because as we know, Shankar Acharya was promoting Mayavad philosophy. On the order of the Lord, he came to promote Mayavad philosophy, but he said, Narayana parabhyaktat. Narayan is beyond the material manifestation. That means we can't all be God, because God is different. He's original. And so even the propagator, this is like, you know, such a key argument, even the one that you're listening to when you say, I am you and you are me and we are all one, and it's, you know, it's you and the money, it's the same, it's just energy, so just, you know, become one with the money and you become rich, and you know, and all this stuff you hear. No, they say that. You know that? It's all one, so you're one with the money. And the Sankirtan devotees say, well, it's all one, give me your money. Because it doesn't matter, you know. Right? It's all one, good. Your money is one, and the book is one, and I and you and me, we're all one. So give me your wallet. What's the problem? So he was the original propagator of that idea, which makes absolutely no sense, and that's why people like it. Isn't that funny? Now, if I tell you to surrender to Krishna, oh, Prabhu, that was a heavy class. You know, can't you lighten up, right? But if I say, you and me and one and this and that, and you know, and it's like, you go, wow, it was a great class. What did he say? I don't know, but I felt really good. That's it, isn't it? I don't know what he said, but it feels good. And it's like, he's talking about some kind of love energy and oneness, and we're all part of that, and, you know, we're actually all God, and, you know, surrender means to surrender to the universe. And you know, that, you know, nobody knows what they're saying. That's why they like it. Because you don't have to surrender, because they didn't say anything. It just feels good, isn't it? And when you hear these people talking like that, you feel like, could I kill you right now? Because you're destroying, you know, the actual truth of the Vedas and making people believe the Vedas is anything you want it to be. So this statement is very significant, because Prabhupada's saying, look at, hello, anybody home? Are the lights on? Look at, this is the person that promoted Mayavad, and he's saying Narayan is God. That's pretty powerful, right? So Prabhupada often quotes this, Narayano parabhyaktat of Sankaracharya. And then the other one, Bhajagovinda, 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 Mudamate. So Sankaracharya is dying. He said, you fools, just worship Govinda. And they all thought, oh, Guru Maharaj is leaving his body. He's become delirious. He doesn't know what he's saying. That's what they thought. Isn't that crazy? Guru Maharaj, oh, in his last moments, he lost his mind. He was telling us to worship Govinda. That's how they understood it. And so how do they understand this? Narayano parabhyaktat. How do you explain it? They can't. But we understand it, so Prabhupada's always quoting this. to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Check out the purport, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, to that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Matta Sarvam Prabhartate, Iti Mat Prabha Jante Mam, Buddha Bhava Samanvita. I am the source of everything, everything comes from me. One who knows this, he surrenders. Verse after verse after verse after verse. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and Narayan, there was only Narayan. Shankaracharya says, Ramanujacharya says, Madhvacharya says, Gita says, Upanishad says. He's just going down. Boom, 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 boom. Verse after verse, reference after reference. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And then we're reading that and we're going, Prabhupada, I know, it's enough. You don't have to give me all the shlokas, I know. No, it's not for you. It's for the people who have no idea who God is. And the Prabhupada said, you have no idea who God is. We know who God is. No, no, Krishna's not God. How do you know? You must know who God is to say Krishna is not God. Because if you don't know what is, how can you say what isn't? Right? This is not a Mercedes-Benz. How do you know? Because I know what a Mercedes-Benz is. This is not. That's a Toyota. But how will I know if I don't know what a Mercedes-Benz is? How can I say it's not, right? So that was Prabhupada's argument. So I wrote Prabhupada a letter when the Krishna book came out. You have to understand some context here. It's so interesting. So when I came to ISKCON, there were three books, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which nobody could even, we read it, but it was like, boop, boop, it was like way up there, right? And Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, but nobody read Bhagavatam because it was the Bhagavatam, and it was like, wow, that's the Bhagavatam. I'm not advanced enough. only like one or two devotees read the Bhagavatam because they were advanced. So basically, we were just reading Bhagavad Gita. Now, put this in context. You all know who Krishna is, right? And you know all the leelas. Well, you don't know all the leelas, but you know all the leelas in the Bhagavatam, at least, of Krishna, from the Krishna book, right? Imagine joining a movement. There's no Krishna book. There's no 10th canto. You don't even know what Krishna does. Isn't that interesting? You hear a few stories in lectures. Oh, yeah, he passed urine on the floor in someone's kitchen because he was angry, It's like, you hear two or three of those stories, and that's all you know. There's something about Govardhan and lifted a hill, But there's no book to read it. So then the Krishna book comes out, and then you have all the stories. It's like, oh, my God, this is God? He does this and this and this. It's like, huge revelation. So I wrote a letter to Prabhupada because I was temple president and we would write a letter every month. So I wrote a letter to Prabhupada basically saying, wow, we actually know who God is and no one else does. It was like, a little kid, wow, 2 and 2 is 4. That's amazing. It was something like that. So I was just so excited reading the Krishna book, realizing that my whole life I grew up not knowing who God is. None of my friends know who God is. The Christians have no idea. Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So I was having this like epiphany that no one knows who God is. And then like in my excitement of a 20-year-old new devotee, I wrote Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, nobody knows who God is. Yeah. And he writes back, yes. Only we are telling them who is God. So what's significant about that? Prabhupada obviously understands this, that nobody knows who God is. So when he's writing in his purports, na ekovai narayana sin matta parataram nanyad, narayano pyavraktad, Ramanujacharya says, Sankaracharya, and just going down. Why is he saying it? To establish authority that you don't know who God is, and you're telling me Krishna's not God. Look at the evidence. Like verse after verse after verse after verse. So what was Prabhupada trying to do? What was Prabhupada's bhajan? His bhajan was to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. That was what he was doing, right? It seems like simple, but think of it from the point of view of Prabhupada loves Krishna and he's come into this world to establish what nobody knows, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And we all know when Prabhupada met a Mayavad, whoa. All hell would let loose. He would just, this verse, that verse, this verse, that verse, this logic, that logic. Because Prabhupada's service to Krishna was to establish Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when someone suggested, don't call it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, call it the International Society for God Consciousness. And Prabhupada said, no one knows who is God. God is a vague word. We want to establish Krishna. They'd read an article to Prabhupada. Terrible article. Well, Hare Krishna's, the wives are slaves to the husband and the kids get up at 4 o'clock. And, no. You know, all lies. It's not like that. The husbands are slaves to the wives. They got it backwards. But, you know, they read the books and they think it's the other way around. But in real life, we know. And they eat on the floor, paper, plastic, wax paper, and this and that, all these bad articles. And Prabhupada would say, count how many times they mention the name Krishna. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, Prabhupada. Very good article. Everyone who reads this article will say Krishna 11 times. Very good article. So Prabhupada was just like, his Prabhupada's mission was get Krishna in people's veins. Just get it in there. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Get it in there somehow or other. Hare Krishna. Jai. Mayapur has come to the Bhaktivedanta Manor. We're so fortunate. Panchatattva ki jai, Sisi Radha Madhava ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Bhishmadev is one of the 12 Mahajans who know the principles of transcendental knowledge. His confirmation of Lord Krishna's being the original personality of Godhead is also corroborated by the impersonalist Sankaracharya. So here, now Prabhupada's doing his, you know, what we could say, as we say in slang, doing his thing. What's Prabhupada's thing? Establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's his mission. So he's doing it here. All other acharyas have also confirmed this statement, and thus there is no chance of not accepting Lord Krishna as the original personality of Godhead. Bhishmadev says that he is the first Narayan. This is also confirmed by Brahmaji in Bhagavatam 10:14:14. This verse is when Brahmaji stole all the cows and calves, and Krishna bewildered him, and then he comes with his tail between his legs, you know. And then he says, you must be the Supreme Narayan. And he was born from Narayan. He said, Krishna, you must be my father, Narayan. So Prabhupada's referring to that, that Brahma is establishing in Bhagavatam that Krishna is the first Narayan. Krishna is the first Narayan. In the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, there are unlimited numbers of Narayans who are all like the same personality of Godhead and are considered to be plenary expansions of the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The first form of the Lord, Sri Krishna, first expands himself as the form of Baladev. And Baladev expands in so many other forms, such as Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, and Narayana. Narayana, Purusha, Ram, and Narsingha. All these expansions are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva, and Sri Krishna is the original source of all plenary expansions. He is therefore the direct personality of Godhead. He is the creator of the material world, and he is the predominating deity known as Narayan in all the Vaikuntha planets. Therefore, his movements amongst human beings are another sort of bewilderment. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita that foolish persons consider him to be one of the human beings without knowing the intricacies of his movements. The bewilderment regarding Sri Krishna is due to the action of his twofold internal and external energies upon the third one called marginal energy. The living entities are expansions of his marginal energy, and thus they are sometimes bewildered by the internal energy, and sometimes by the external energy. So Prabhupada in a morning walk said, you will always be controlled, or as he's saying here, you'll be bewildered by one energy or the other, but you'll always be controlled. It's just what energy is going to control you, internal or external? But we're never independent, and we're never not bewildered. We're always like, wouldn't you like to be bewildered by Krishna's beauty and Krishna's attraction? Of course. Or if not, then we're bewildered by Maya, controlled by Maya. But you have to be controlled. Nobody's independent. So choose your weapon. What do you want to be controlled by? But we will be controlled. By internal energetic bewilderment, Sri Krishna expands himself into unlimited numbers of Narayanas and exchanges or accepts transcendental loving service from the living entities in the transcendental world. And by his external energetic expansions, he incarnates himself in the material world amongst the men, animals, or demigods to reestablish his forgotten relationship with the living entities and different species of life. Great authorities like Bhishma, however, escape his bewilderment by the mercy of the Lord. So, in the verse it says, he's bewildering us with his self-created energy. And so, one of the things that Krishna does is he bewilders. Madan Mohan. He's very bewildering. So now the question is, what do you want to be bewildered by? His internal potency or his external potency? And the choice is yours. And you might say, but it's not fair to be bewildered by the external energy. And what do you think Krishna would say? But you asked for it, so you got it. That's what you want. Now, it's so interesting. In, I think it's the third canto, Lord Brahma is describing the self-deception that he creates. He creates self-deception. So what is self-deception? Well, self-deception means I forget who I am, my false ego overcomes me, and then I believe I can be an enjoyer. Now, why is that self-deception? Because if we didn't have false ego, we couldn't think we're an enjoyer, right? It would be impossible. So imagine this scenario, right? You come into the material world to enjoy, right? And you're like a kid in an amusement park, you know, just running around. Wow, it's Disneyland. And just so this world's a bit like Disney World for us. And we're running around in this illusion of Disney World, thinking like everything here. Like, you know, in Disneyland, like they paint everything like every day. It looks like everything's eternal. And, you know, Nava Yovana, it's like ever fresh. They polish every day. Maybe they paint once a week. You know, everything's perfect. There's the grass looks like someone just got a perfect haircut at a salon. You know, like there's no blade of grass out of, it's not in the wrong place. It's, everything is perfectly green. So the little kids think this is some kind of fairyland and everything is perfect, you know. So you don't want to tell them it isn't, or they're going to see Father Christmas. You don't want to say, actually, he's just a big fat guy that lives down the street, you know, and this is how he makes money during December. You don't want to tell them that, because if you did, it would ruin all the fun, right? So you have to keep some deception, you know. The little kid loses his tooth, and then he wakes up in the morning, and there's some money under the pillow. Mommy, mommy! Oh, yeah, the tooth fairy came. And then they're like 8 years old, like, is there really a tooth fairy? And you're like, well, not really. So, you know, but you can't tell them that when they're 3 years old, right? So Brahma creates self-deception. Self-deception is required in order to enjoy the material world. Because if you remember that you're servant of Krishna, if all the illusion is dispelled, how could you enjoy it? It wouldn't work because you have too much knowledge. That's why when someone starts coming to ISKCON and they hear the classes, you know, after like, you know, 3-4 weeks, they walk out
And they're like, I can't be happy anymore. I know too much. Isn't it? It's like, you know. So they go out to do the same things they used to, but it doesn't work anymore. I used to do this and it made me happy, but now it doesn't make me happy because I know I'm not the enjoyer and it's for Krishna. It's like, oh, I wish I never heard this. You know, but now, well, I guess I have to surrender because it doesn't work anymore. It neutralizes it. So Brahma creates self-deception because if you forget, then you can think you can enjoy. You can be in this illusion that this will make me happy. He has to do that. So you say, but it's not fair. What do you mean it's not fair? You asked for it. You wanted to come here and enjoy. The only way you're going to enjoy is you have to forget everything. You have to forget who you are. You have to forget God. You have to think you can be God independently. You have to have all these illusions. False ego has to completely overcome you. And then in that illusion, you could think, this is very nice. As Prabhupada says, the pig thinks this stool is very nice. There has to be a certain level of illusion to think stool is nice. Yes? Yes? And then, you know, the story, Indra becomes a pig, and then, Indra, come back, but my piggies and my pig wife, I can't leave her. You know? And everyone's thinking, I can't believe this. This is Indra. He's so bewildered. So that's what Brahma does. He creates bewildering energy because we want it. So that's the point. If you want it, if you want to be bewildered, Krishna will say, okay, here it is. You will think you're the body. I will create that energy, and you'll be madly working. I was just watching something. I was doing some research about 5G. 5G is coming out, which is basically going to kill all of us. It's so unhealthy, but everyone's so excited about it, and the investors are like, wow, this is like big opportunity, and everyone's going to need a new phone, and you know, and the investors are talking, you know, I made $10 million in this investment, and I made $50 million in this investment, I made $400 million in this investment, and I'm thinking, oh my God, why didn't you retire after the first $10 million? But this bewildering energy that I am the enjoyer, it just keeps them going on. I could make $1 billion. Like, you need $1 billion? And you have to work 15 hours a day to make it. You have no time to enjoy it. Like, what's wrong with you? So why? Because you want it. So the mode of passion goes, okay, work, 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 work. It's 12 o'clock at night. You're falling asleep in your desk. Yeah, but there's some guy awake right now who's investing in something that you don't know about. You got to stay awake another hour and find out because this is an opportunity. And it's like, this is what's going on under the bewilderment of the material energy. Isn't it? Isn't it insane? Right? You have 48 homes and 48 cars and you have more money than you know what to do with it. Why are you working? Because I could have 49 homes. I could be the richest guy in London. That's why I'm working. So that's the bewildering energy. So you want it, Krishna will bewilder you. And if you want Krishna, that whole illusion will dispel, and the other illusion will come, that Krishna's my friend, Krishna's my lover, Krishna's my son, and you'll be enamored by Krishna. No false ego. So whenever you say, Maya is so strong, no, it's not true. Our desire to enjoy Maya is strong. That's all. If you don't want to enjoy it, Krishna will go, okay, no more Maya. Only, no more Mahamaya, only Yoga Maya. And everything about Krishna will become attractive. You know, there's a story, devotees, Mahaprabhu's devotees, they were together and they're reading Shastra. And they read a verse. And Haridas Thakur, when he heard the verse, he got up and he started dancing. Oh, this verse, it's so amazing. And he's jumping in the air. Can you imagine what kind of taste? You're just sitting here peacefully and I recite a shloka and you get up, ah, ah, Govinda, and you start jumping, you know? That's ruchi. Well, it's beyond ruchi, that's prema. Or at least it's bhava. So that's what they're experiencing, you know, like, you know, you hear some shloka and Mahaprabhu said, unless the shloka makes your head spin, it's not a good shloka. You know, he's like, wow, that shloka, huh? Ecstasy and you're erupting and wow, that was a good shloka, you know, I had all eight symptoms, you know, in that shloka. What about this shloka? No, only six symptoms. Not as good. So that's what's going on for them. You know, they're hearing and they're fainting. They're seeing the deity and they're crying. They're hearing kirtan and just like can't stop. That's what happens when the material energy subsides and the spiritual energy overcomes us. But it's up to us to want it. And if we want it, Krishna will give it, right? So don't blame Maya, blame yourself. Because you can fix it. Hare Krishna. So I guess it's time to end. We have time for questions or? Okay. Or comments. Or arguments. Or debates.